as I keep repeating to one audience after another. Most of the laboring force in America is now women. And my exclamation when I give that statement is, God save America. This art of forming the conscience of a child is an art which can be partially learned. Mother, parents, but is also an infused gift of the Holy Spirit. He confers on the parents already when they were married, when they received the sacrament of matrimony. Part of the grace which they've received is the grace to form the consciences of their children. This art, as we're calling it, is a supernatural art which is to be exercised by both parents. By the father one way and by the mother cooperating with the father. Both parents are needed. It is an art and must be cultivated by prayer. An art that must be cultivated by the parents regularly receiving the sacraments. Let me add, regularly and frequently receiving the sacraments. By the parents practicing meditation, mental prayer, and by family cooperation, forming a child's conscience is an art, but it is also a sacred duty. Either the parents form the child's conscience, or someone else will. And the moment we say form, we mean that conscience can be misformed. The moment we say shaping the conscience, we include misshaping the conscience. Our world is deluged with eugenics. And eugenists and powers and the media and political forces hear it. 47 years in the priesthood have taught me many things. I'm using this superlative consciously. These forces, eugenics, political powers, the media, have their single most dominant purpose to form the consciences of children. Do you hear me? My first prayer book, as I tell people, was in Russian script. Years ago, I was privileged in assisting in the publication, translation, and publication of a book for teachers in the elementary schools in Russia. How to train the children. Every word of some 40 pages, every word was aimed at forming the consciences of those children. Every word. That's the main purpose for the multi-billion-dollar monopoly called the National Educational Association. In our country, the formation of the conscience of children is one of the main goals of our American system of education. One reason why over 1 million parents in the United States today had great, sometimes heroic sacrifice, have had to resort to homeschooling because they know how well they know that the organized schools of education in so many ways are forming the conscience of their children, all right, are forming those consciences contrary to the most fundamental principles of morality and basic Christianity. Our final and most important, I hope, contribution. What I'm calling basic rules. This subject of forming the consciousness of a child is an ocean in width and in depth. We cannot hope to explore this subject, needless to say, in a single conference. That is why I thought I would share with you some of the norms which the Church has developed through 20 centuries of her teaching wisdom, namely, on how do you form the conscience of a child. And I want to state these in the form of norms and then go on to expand and explain each norm. First norm. There is nothing in the mind which was not first in the senses. There is nothing in the mind which has not first been in the senses. What does this mean? It means that all the ideas we have originally came to us from our senses. What we can see with our bodily eyes, or what we have heard with our ears, what we touched with our hands, or tasted with our tongues, these are the seedbed from which all our ideas come. Please don't forget this. As we say in teaching philosophy, nihil in intellectu, nisi prius in sensu. There is nothing in the intellect which has not first been in the senses. What follows from this basic principle for forming the conscience of a child? What follows? The parents must make sure that not only from the age of reason, indeed, not only from the date of birth, but hear it, from the moment of conception, the images and sounds and feelings and tastes and touches are those which will provide the foundation for sound moral and spiritual ideas in the mind of the growing child. There's only one comment I can make I could spend hours on what I have just said. In the name of God, I beg, I plead with parents to make sure that their children's sense experiences, I repeat, from the moment of conception, from the earliest days of infancy, are those that are compatible with the kind of ideas that then the child is to have in having a good, God-loving, and God-fearing conscience. If I may be excused in at least mentioning something from my own experience, my mother widowed when I was a year old. I never knew my father. I was taught to kneel before I could walk. As a child, taught to fold my hands. Large pictures of the Sacred Heart and the soul of a mother in the room. Holy water at the door. Never once from childhood entering the house without greeting my mother, "Praise be Jesus Christ." It is those sense impressions which should be continued, of course, made, if I can so use the word, more elevated, more sophisticated as a child grows, but also conversely protecting the child wisely, prudently, from all unnecessary exposure to the demonic media which are hell-bent on ruining the consciences of millions of children. Norm number two. Example is the most powerful teacher. Parents form the conscience of their children not only about what they say or what they tell the children, but also what the children see, how the parents behave. I have one statement here that I want to quote. Contraception is deadly for the conscience of a child. Parents, practice selfless love for one another. Parents, practice self-giving love for their children. Parents, practice the priority of values in your lives so as to teach your children accordingly. The children must see their parents living lives of chastity, of charity, of patience, of cheerfulness. All of this is locked up, but more still, locked up in what they call casually example. I sure hope I will be clear. The forming of the conscience of a child by its parents is not only or mainly a matter of example. It is also and especially where the parents are channels of grace to their children. If you parents want your children to be strongly believing, you'll be strongly believing yourselves. If you parents want your children to be truthful, you'll be absolutely truthful yourself. If you want your children to be charitable and loving, you practice, if need be, heroic love yourselves. In other words, God uses people who have these virtues as the conduits of His grace to confer the corresponding virtue on others. And the single principal channel of grace for children in this world is the parents. And no one cheats here. Nobody. If you want to form your children's consciences, be sure that you parents are absolutely, utterly faithful to God in following your conscience according to His divine will. Norm number 3. Expect to not be accepted by everyone. How the parents need to believe this and so train their children. Forming the child's conscience includes preparing the child for not being accepted by everyone. If I shouted this at the top of my voice, if I kept repeating it 10,000 times, I could not be emphasizing it too much. The child Jesus, as we know, had to flee to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill him. From earliest years, the children should be taught that following one's conscience can mean not being liked by everyone. My dear parents, I beg you, train your children not to be conformists. The children should learn something of the meaning of the crucifixion. I know what I'm talking about already in their early years. Norm number 4. The greatest joy on earth is to be faithful to a really informed conscience. You parents want your children to be happy. What you won't do to ensure that your children will be happy, thank God. Well, there is nothing, I repeat, nothing more fundamental to ensure your children's happiness than to train them, form them, to have a conscience that is conformed to the will of God. This is real joy. Children should be assured that they will be happy, and not just in the heaven of eternity, but happy already here on earth, provided they follow faithfully in doing what their conscience tells them is pleasing to God. For this, be sure your children understand there is no substitute. Consequently, forming the conscience of a child is training that child for happiness. How can I be happy? I can be happy by knowing what pleases God, because I love him. And then doing what God wants me to do out of love for him. Children should be trained from their tenderest years that real, sincere, deep, unalloyed joy is theirs on one condition, that you, their parents, have taught them what is God's will, and then train them especially by living a life in your own life closely united to the will of God, because then your children, knowing God's will and following it, will be happy with a joy that nothing on earth can ever take away. Train your children to expect, I mean it, to expect to suffer, which means that their own will not always be satisfied. But so what? They will always be happy, provided their wills are conformed to the loving will of God. I have a closing prayer. Lord Jesus, enlighten the parents who believe in you how to form the consciences of their children. You told us to let the little children come to me. Children, dear Lord, will come to you in the measure that they know your will. It is especially, dear Jesus, the grave responsibility of parents to form their children's consciences to conform to your divine will. This guarantees how the children will come to you, not only here on earth to be blessed by you, but will come back to you from whom they came when you created their souls, dear Lord, back to you to be embraced by them and never leave your arms for all eternity. Amen. Thank you for listening.